Thank you for that, gentlemen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. The Lord put this on my heart, and I want to share it with you today. I want to encourage you in the Lord of the faithfulness of our God. And we won't continue our series, It's Time to Seek the Lord. We'll get back on that train either Wednesday night or Sunday morning as the Lord leads. But find your place there in 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, beginning in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that you may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Notice there in verse number 3, the Lord is faithful. That's our text tonight. The Lord is faithful. We'll look at the context a little bit, but we're primarily looking at the Lord is faithful. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you have to depend upon the Lord for. I don't know what you have to trust the Lord for in your life right now, but I know one thing for certain: God can be trusted. And God, you can depend upon Him. You can't trust necessarily what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know that, but you can trust God. We change, but God doesn't. Seasons change, but God doesn't. Dispensations have changed in the past. God hasn't. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John Bunyan was asked, how do you describe the faithfulness of God? He said, yesterday, today, and forever, the Lord is the same. The Lord doesn't change. He is our rock that changes not. He's the same. He's dependable. Men and women ebb and flow. They're like roller coasters, up and down. Even the strongest of men, you can think, that's a sure man. That's a strong man. He seems like he never ebbs or flows. I don't know who you've talked to, but that man even changes. That man even changes. God never changes. You can count on Him to come through for you. He's a faithful God. Now, in this letter from the pen of Paul, written to the church, they're experiencing great growth. They're experiencing their faith growing. In chapter 1, verse 3, it grows exceedingly. Their charity is abounding towards everyone. I mean, they're just running over. They're experiencing great spiritual growth. I'm not talking about the people are getting saved there, but I'm talking about spiritual growth. They are growing. They're a loving church that is active and reaching out. But I'm telling you what, friend, that's no exemption from having problems. They've got problems. They're being persecuted all over the place. They're experiencing persecution from without. Look at it here in verse number 2 of our text, chapter 3. Has to be said that ye may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. There's some people that are just unreasonable. They're unreasonable. They don't work on just being sensible. They're just unreasonable. And I want to tell you something, when you're dealing with unreasonable people, you just give them over to the Lord and you keep in your lane and you keep serving the Lord, because God is reasonable and God is faithful and you can trust Him. You don't need to bark at every dog that barks. Don't bark at every dog that barks, and just keep your eyes on the Lord. Unreasonable. Man, there'll be people that are unreasonable, and worse than that, there'll be people that are just playing out wicked. There'll be people that are playing out wicked. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to come across people being unreasonable to you. Not anywhere fair. I mean, talk to Paul. Just spend a little 5 or 10 minutes with him and see if he ran across anybody that was unreasonable. They picked up stones and left him for dead. You understand that? I mean, you just know that. Unreasonable. There was no reason for them to do any of those things to the Lord Jesus. And they took Him to Calvary. Unreasonable. He did good to every man. He did good to every... It's unreasonable. And you say in your Christian life, well, this isn't fair. Well... Welcome to the Bible scriptures. Welcome to the pages of scripture, rather. Just read about what people did to those that serve the Lord. Unreasonable? Yes. Wicked? Yes. That's the context of what's going on. And notice what it says there in verse 2. For, that's a word of reason, right? Unreasonable and wicked men. Do you see that there? And then do you see that little word of reason, for? For. Why is that the case? Well, all men have not faith. Everybody's not saved. Of course they're going to be unreasonable and wicked because they're not born again. They're going to be that way towards us. We're looked at as the bad guy because we're the light and they're the darkness. All men have not the faith. By the way, notice with me, all men have not the faith. There's people that are just, they just don't believe, and so that's the reason they're unreasonable and wicked. And he said, pray for us that we'd be delivered out of that situation. But even if we're not delivered out of that situation, guess who's faithful? Verse 3. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Who will establish you and keep you. Why do we need to be established? And why do we need to be kept? Because there's unreasonable and wicked men. And so we need to be established, strong in the Lord. And we're strong only in His faithfulness. And we're only kept from evil from His faithfulness. The young men and us were talking. We were having a serious conversation in our prayer room. Yeah, forgive us. We hardly even prayed at all. We just had a serious conversation. It was good, wasn't it? It was good. It was. It was good. The Lord just led us to those conversations, and it was good. And we brought up one situation where the Lord delivered somebody from an unreasonable person, from a wicked person. Saved that young man's life. We were talking about that. You don't have to know all the details, but I'm here to tell you this. There's a God in heaven that'll watch over your life if you live for Him. He'll protect your life. He'll keep you from evil if you'll stay faithful to Him. The Lord is faithful. He'll establish you, and He'll keep you from evil. The Lord is faithful. May the Lord help us tonight as we look at a few things about the faithfulness of God, the faithful God. Number one, He's faithful in His person. The Lord is faithful. Meaning by that, He's faithful in His nature is faithfulness. He is a true God, just and right is He. Everything about Him is faithful. He's faithful in all of His attributes. He's faithful in His wisdom. He's faithful in His love. He's faithful in His knowledge. He's faithful with his compassion. He's faithful in His understanding. He's faithful to keep His word. He's faithful in all things. He does not, that word faithful has the idea of being true in a transaction of something. When there's money to be put across from one table to another, He's faithful with that. He doesn't swindle it. You know, when you're transferring money in a big deal or something, somebody that knows what they're doing can put a little shade over it. And they can trick you. They can swindle it. What do you call that? You call that money laundering. And you'll never know that it even happened. You'll never even know that it happened. If the other person's just good at it. And they'll be a shyster and a trickster. Let me tell you, the Lord's not that way. He's faithful in the transaction. He's going to be just to you. He's going to be fair to you. He's going to be right to you. He's going to keep His word. And He's a rewarder of those that do what is right. He's a faithful God. Has He ever been unjust to you? Not a dime in your life. He's been better than good to me. Do we want the Lord to be absolutely fair and right off? No, He's a merciful and gracious God. He's faithful to who He is. Let me read some verses to you about our God. I've got a list of them that I jotted down. Just think about the Lord with me tonight and who He is. And put your eyes on Him for just a moment. Years and years ago, some of y'all that knew me years and years and years ago, I did a little series of devotionals on God is. God is. And I still want to bring that to the church. All that God is in the Psalms. You ever notice that? God is this, God is this, God is this. And I want to do that again. But our God is a great God. And it should never be, God should never be ordinary or regular in our minds. Do you understand that? He should blow our minds. We should marvel at the greatness and the awesomeness of our God. For the Lord thy God, He is a consuming fire. He's even a jealous God, Deuteronomy 4:24. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God, Deuteronomy 4:31. The Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, Deuteronomy 6:15. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, a great God and mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He don't take rewards from people. You don't, you don't get on God's good side by doing things for him. No, he don't work that way. He doesn't respect persons. He's a terrible God. Meaning that word terrible in the language there, he is awesome. I mean, woo! Wow! Like, just blow you back type of deal. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms, Deuteronomy 33:27. And that Lord, that God, is with you whithersoever you go, Joshua 1:9. That God that is great and mighty and terrible goes with you. 2 Chronicles 30:9, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and he will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. If we go back to God, he always comes towards us, doesn't he? Has there ever been a time you've been a prodigal before and your heart's been away from you, and in sincerity and in true repentance you went back to God like you were supposed to? Has there ever been a time God pushed you back away? No, there's never been a time. You can't tell me a time. God will not turn you away. Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom, Job 36:5. God judges the righteous, but God is angry with the wicked every day, Psalm 7:11. And God is our refuge and strength in a very present time and help of trouble. This is who our God is. For God is the king of all the earth. He's the king of all this earth. We're so centralized in America. We're so centralized in our thinking. We're so local. But you know who's the president of all the universe? His name is King Jesus. The King of Glory. It was, I think, read this morning, if I'm not mistaken. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Psalm 75:7. For the Lord our God is holy. Psalm 99:9. Who is he? He's holy. Psalm 116:5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. There's so many I want to share with you here, as I got so many written down. Here's another one out of Psalm 68. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. The issues from death belong to God. Even not only the issues of life, but the issues of death. And that same God, in the New Testament it says, is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have in all sufficiency and all things may abound in every good work. Now that's an overflowing verse of Scripture. He's faithful to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have in all sufficiency and all things may abound in every good work. The prophet Nahum said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trusteth him. Trusteth him. You know that, friend? He knows those that trust in him. He's stronghold in the day of trouble. He's faithful. The Bible says in Revelation 3, I want you to turn there and hold your place. He's faithful in his person. He's faithful in all of his attributes. You can trust him. Revelation 3. And verse number 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. The Amen. The faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. Why is he called the Amen? He's called the Amen because he is true. When you say Amen, and Jesus said Amen, and Jesus said verily, verily, which is kin to Amen, that means it's true. That's the only reason you say amen in church, is you agree with something and you say, that's right, that's true. I know that's true, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There you go. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There you go. And you're saying that's true because that's Bible. You don't have to agree with my preferences, and you shouldn't, or any other preachers. But when the Word of God is said, you are not, nobody's wrong when they quote the Bible. You quote the Bible, you're never wrong. And Jesus is the Amen. He's the truth. He's the truth. You turn over there to 2 Corinthians 1:20. I want you to see this in your scriptures. You have to learn to hold your place in one place so we can all get back at the same time. That's just what you do. I was listening to Spurgeon, reading Spurgeon the other day. And he said there's no greater act of worship in his opinion. There's no greater act of worship. You're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. There's no greater act of worship than to listen to a sermon with your whole entire heart and your whole entire mind. I've never heard anybody say that before. There's no greater act of worship to listen to a sermon attentively with your whole entire mind and your whole entire heart. Because this is the Word of God that is forever settled in heaven, and He's magnified His Word above His own name. That's what it says in the Scripture. Now that's getting off course a little bit, but I apologize for that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 20. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 20. For all the promises in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Meaning by not all the promises are what? They're true. He's saying they're amen, they're yea, they're yes. You can put a yes next to every promise because God is faithful. You can put an amen next to every promise because they're true unto the glory of God by us. He's faithful in His person. You can turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. He's faithful. He's saying, when he's saying amen, he's saying, let it be, so be it. Amen. That's right. Let it be, so be it. That's true. Let that come to pass. He's a God who never fails. We fail, but He never fails. We're unfaithful, but He's never unfaithful. We've forsaken Him, but He's never forsaken us. He's a faithful God. He's faithful in His promises. Not only His person, but His promises. Now there's a promise here in this text of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Have you ever had somebody say something to you before and then they didn't come through with it? Yeah, that's right. Well, that's never happened with the Lord. He said way back yonder in the book of Genesis, He said, let there be light, and there was light. And if Jesus says something, it's going to come to pass. It just is, because that's His Word. Anything that's written in the Word, it's going to come to pass. Now here, he says the Lord is faithful who will do some things. He's going to establish you and keep you from evil. The Lord's going to make sure that happens in your life. He's faithful to that promise. He's going to establish you. The way you're established is you're established in the Word of God. You're established in the promises of God. You take what God has said to you in faithfulness, in verity, and in truth, and you stand upon it, and that's how you're established. You live your life on the Word of God. You build your life on the Bible. You build your life on the promises of God. Say, I'm going to stand on this. God said that. That settles it. You've heard that phrase before, but that's how you got to live. Christians are only shaky because they don't stand on a sure foundation. They don't stand on the promises of the Word of God, the faithful in His promises, and we stand on those. The word established there has the idea of making stable, placing firmly, setting fast. And we get strength and we get stability in life as we stand on the promises of the Word of God. They fortify your mind when you're going through a trial. They fortify your mind when people are against you. You say, hey, the Lord is with me. The Lord is faithful. And you stand on His promises because He's faithful to His promises. He's not only going to establish you, but He's going to keep you. He's going to keep you, verse 3, from evil. He's faithful to do that. It carries the idea of protection. The Lord is our refuge. He is our fortress. He's our hiding place, the psalmist said. We read some of those verses. It carries the idea of protection. God promises to protect us. He can be trusted to do what He says He'll do. Our God does not overpromise and underperform like some. Our God does not overpromise and underperform. What God says He'll do, He will do. Men overpromise and underperform, but God will not. God will stand by His Word. Psalm 138 and verse 2, I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth, for Thou hast magnified Thy Word above Thy name. He's going to do what He said He's going to do. God is not man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should not keep to what He said. He's going to keep to what He said. He's going to do what He said. Numbers 23 and verse number 9. Just a few things. Number one, He'll save anybody that comes to Him by faith and repentance. He said, for whosoever shall call upon Me shall be saved. That heart that believes unto Him shall be saved. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's never been a man or woman that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in true, genuine faith that has not been saved. unto life eternal. He keeps his word. And that's what happened to you and I. We didn't know it. We didn't know everything when we got saved. And nobody usually, well, they might, you know what I mean. We don't know everything when we got saved. You understand, when I got saved, I didn't understand all the doctrines of God. I didn't have all that figured out. I was a young, young child who was saved under the age of 10. You know, you were born again under the age of 10. Sure, sure. That was like me. I was under the age of 10. I didn't understand everything. But all I knew was this book right here. And I knew I was a sinner. And I knew Jesus was the Savior and the Lord. And I knew He was the only way of salvation. And I called on Him by faith. And He saved me. I can keep His word. Now, I'm telling you, there's been times in my life I've wondered about some things. And I've wondered about my own salvation. But you know what I stand on? I stand on what Jesus said. You know what eternal security is? The faithfulness of God. That's what gives you security of your everlasting life, is the faithfulness of God. Now, if God convicts you and says, and He tells you you're not one of His, and that stays on, and you don't have the fruits of salvation in your life, and you don't see Christ living in your life and producing good things and chastening you when you go away from Him, that's a whole different story. It's a different thing. If you know you've been born again, you stand on the Word of God. He'll save all those who come to Him by faith and repentance. Yes, He will. You know what else thing we can believe and we have to believe? You know, sometimes when we pray, it doesn't feel like the Lord's hearing our prayers. There's sometimes I pray in the mornings, and you pray in the mornings, and you pray at those certain times, and you wonder, does the Lord hear me? Sometimes it seems like the ceiling gets awful thick, right? Seems like heaven's brass. It's not true. It's not true. Don't listen to the devil. He said, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You believe that promise? When you talk to the Lord in the name of the Lord, He will hear your prayer. You believe that when you pray. A lot of times we don't pray like we ought to pray is because we don't believe in a faithful God's listening to us. He'll hear you when you pray. You can believe this as well. Because of God's faithfulness, He'll meet all your needs. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. He'll meet your needs. He'll supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. God's going to take care of His own. He's not going to leave the righteous forsaken or His seed begging bread. He's going to take care of you. Now, the context of Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 19 is a little different than what you might imagine. That's in the context of giving to the missionary, the Apostle Paul. It surely is. Check me on it. See if I'm not right. And God said, because that's going on, I'll supply all your needs according to riches and glory. God will not neglect you. No, He won't. He'll meet all your needs. You can believe another thing about the promises of God. Because God is faithful, you can believe this promise. His grace is sufficient for your need. Many times in your life, God will not take that trial away. I know some of you, for months, maybe even years, you've dealt with the same thing that's never went away. The thorn stayed in your life. Has God been unjust to you? No, He hadn't been unjust to you. His grace has been sufficient for you. His grace has been sufficient for you. He said, Paul said, most gladly therefore will I rejoice that the power of Christ may rest upon you. He told Paul, He said, I'm not going to remove it from you, but my grace is sufficient for thee. 2 Corinthians 12:9. He'll give grace sufficient for every trial. You can believe that. Promise. You can believe that promise. Many times we got to come to a place, I've been teaching this in 2 Corinthians on the radio, there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. That's about where I'm at right now, a little bit in chapter 3. Many times when we go through our trials, the world and the devil and our flesh, we just want an out, don't we? We just want an escape, don't we? We all want out of the problem that we're going through. And there's nothing wrong to feel that way. But sometimes we have to realize God's bringing us through that to work in other people's lives for their good and God's glory, for their salvation and God's glory. Paul said, death worketh in us, but life in you. I think that's the 12th verse of the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Death worketh in me, but life in you. You not realize that God brings trials and tribulations, pains, irritations, frustrations, you name it, trouble, just, and sometimes it stacks, don't it? Not just one at a time. Sometimes it stacks up. But God, see, puts grace through your life, and he lets that grace be sufficient. That means more than enough. And then somebody else sees that in your life and says, wow, that must be the Lord. And they see that grace getting into your life, and you still having a sweet spirit around your family, a sweet spirit around your friends, a sweet spirit around your church. And it said, that must be the grace of God. That's not normal. Death worketh in you, but life in others. That's the work of God through the power of God and the Spirit of God. But he's faithful to give you grace sufficient. He's also faithful to give you peace. Philippians chapter number 4. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to give that, come through on that promise of peace. He said, be careful for nothing, Philippians 4, 6. But in everything by prayer. We got to do that, everything by prayer. Be like a child, prays for the doorknob, you know. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Be transparent to God. Give it to the Lord. Don't hide it from him. Give it to the Lord. Say, he already knows about it. He wants to hear it from one of his children. Make it known. Make it known. Be open before God. What's going to happen? What a word. What a word. Pastor Sexton preached a message years ago, and he preached on that little word right there in verse 7, and. Underline it, circle it, and. If you do what's in verse 6, you'll have something in verse 7. And the peace of God. Isn't that great? If you make known those requests, you have that, you don't worry about anything, you pray about everything, let it all be done with thanksgiving, letting your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the and of the peace of God. When we pray and give it all to the Lord, that peace of God is going to be faithful. It's going to come through. He'll give you peace in the midst of every circumstance of life. And he'll never leave you. You can count on this promise. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll walk with you every step of the way to glory. Some of you are lonely. Some of you don't have all the people that you used to have in your life. Some of you would look, it looks like you're missing some people in your life, and you are. But God is faithful, and he walks with you every step of the way. And would you testify and say, amen, that God is more than enough? And when others leave you, God seems to be more real to you. And sometimes you can have people all around you. And you can have hundreds around you and look at that person and you think that person's not lonely, but that person can even be lonely. Pastor Sexton said, people don't understand. They see all these people around me and all these people around me, but I want you to know sometimes I feel like the loneliest person in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's true that way. It works. You know, you don't have to deal with loneliness just because you're all alone and don't have people around you. We all deal with that. But that's when we draw nigh to the Savior and he becomes more real to us. You understand that? He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Cling to him more closely as the years get more lonely. Who in here say, all my friends have died and went to glory? Raise your hand. Yeah, there's some hands right there. There's one person being honest. Think about it. Think about it. Think about my parents. No. It's fewer and fewer. That's when we cling to him more closely. He'll walk with you every step of the way to glory. Not only is he faithful in his person and faithful in his promises, and I'll be done tonight. I'm trying to encourage you by the faithfulness of God from the Word of God. He's faithful in his performances. He's faithful in his performances. He'll come through for you and I. Tell me a time. They sang about it this morning. Tell me a time he hadn't been faithful. Tell me a time he hadn't come through. Tell me a time he hadn't been merciful. Tell me a time he hadn't been good. He does what he says he'll do. I think of Abraham offering Isaac. Boy, he went to the last minute, didn't he? He did it. And that's how the Lord deals with you and I. We want everything fixed, but see, God, he loves us too much to give us exactly what we need at that first whim. He's going to stretch that faith, but God came through for him, didn't he? And that ram was in the thicket all along. I think of Joseph and Jacob with those wagons I preached about. Those wagons are coming. I think about that. Those provisions were already made, weren't they? God take care of us. I think of Daniel, how he's faithful to God. He got thrown in the lion's den, right? He got thrown in the lion's den, didn't he? It happened, didn't it? But was God faithful in the lion's den? What if there was no lion's den? Would God be seen more clearly through Daniel? No. And God's got a lion's den for you. And in that lion's den, it's not your faithfulness that's seen. It's God's faithfulness that's seen. So many times in these stories, think of Abraham. All the faithfulness of Abraham to sacrifice. No, it's the faithfulness of God to provide the lamb. It's the faithfulness of God to protect Daniel. Yeah, they were in the right place at the right time. They were faithful, but God was faithful to protect them. And God came through. I think of the life of David. Oh, we've been studying that. That's not the story of the greatness of David. That's the story of the greatness and the faithfulness of God. God came through for David. David just put himself in the right spot, and David killed Goliath. And then when it goes on and on where we're studying right now, we're going to go in chapter 18 and onward, and we're going to find that David was protected by God. God was faithful to David to protect him through Saul. Oh, how many times should have? David should have been killed 100 times over by Saul. Should have been stuck to the wall. But God protected him. God is greater than anything cast against you. He's greater than all your enemies. He's greater than all your circumstances. God is greater. Abraham, Daniel, David. How about Hannah? Hannah wanted a child. She prayed for a child. She prayed so hard for a child. He thought she was drunk. She prayed so earnestly. I wonder if people listened to us pray and nobody knew we were praying. And they didn't know us, but they heard us in another room and they might have thought, what's wrong with that person? They've lost their mind. They must be drunk or something. I wonder if our prayers could be that fervent. I wonder if our prayers could be that passionate, so overwhelming. I wonder if we could get so full of ourselves we didn't even know where we were. I boast not of myself. I'm actually ashamed to even say this. I remember one time I was at Crown College. I'll get back to the faithfulness of God in a moment. I remember one time I was at Crown College. God was dealing with me and convicting me, and I was on that altar. I mean, that altar's as long as this church is. Big old altar. And I remember I was on that altar. God was dealing with me, convicting me. He was trying to draw me completely to himself. And I remember I prayed on that altar, and I didn't even know anybody was around me. I was talking to the Lord, just me and the Lord, thousands of people there. And sure enough, I got done praying, Brother Buddy, and I didn't realize everybody had left. And I was still sitting there. And I looked up. I'm not trying to lie. I didn't know anybody. Everybody had left. And looked up. I didn't even hear Pastor Sexton or whoever. And the service wasn't completely over, but everybody went back to the seat. And he was already starting to do closing announcements. I tell you what, when the Lord grabs you, you got a burden on your heart for something, that's what'll happen. That's what'll happen. I wasn't trying to show off or nothing like that. Brother Paulie talked about that lady that night that was burdened. That's how we need to pray, like Hannah prayed. But you know what? God was faithful to Hannah. Not at the first whim, was it? And God's not going to be faithful many times to us on the first whim. He'll stretch our faith. He'll pull our faith. He'll make those muscles of our faith stronger and stronger and put that weight on us. But oh yeah, the performance of God was faithful in the life of Hannah. I think of Peter. You know, I like Peter because he reminds me of me. And it reminds us of a lot of us too, right? I like how Peter had a little zump, a little zealousness to him, a little zip in his step, you know. He wanted to do something. He got himself in trouble a lot. I'm not looking to be the person that's absolutely right. And I like, be around me a little bit. I'll mess some things up in a hurry. But Peter was one of those guys that he didn't want the status quo. He wanted a little bit more than everybody else. I'm telling you what, I don't care what age you are, but especially you young people, have a little zeal to get out of the boat at least. Don't be addicted to mediocrity. Do something for Jesus. Be out and out for the Lord. Amen. He got out of the boat. He got out of the boat and he looked away from Jesus and looked at the storms. You're going to get out in the water and try to follow Jesus. But at least you're the one out on the water. Amen. And he looked away, but Jesus is faithful in his performances. And when Peter cried out to him, he reached down and he saved him. Let me tell you, if you're failing, if you're sinking, you just holler out to Jesus. He'll pick you up. I'm going to use this as an illustration about getting out of the boat real quick. We were visiting for Vacation Bible School. I think it was Peter and Michael and a couple of my boys. And I think the girls went somewhere else. But we were visiting for Vacation Bible School. And we decided to go to Walmart and pass out tracts at Walmart, pass out VBS flyers. A little odd, didn't go door to door, a little different. It's kind of like getting out of your comfort zone a little bit, getting out of your boat. And, you know, kind of weird walking down. When was the last time you walked in Walmart, down the Walmart parking lot aisles and started handing out church literature? Probably hadn't happened last week, did it? Yeah. It's a little weird. You know, you get out there and people are coming towards you and you kind of just got to, hey, I'd give you an invitation to the VBS. But you know what? We got out of the boat. We did something a little different and it worked. And it worked. I think more people came to that Vacation Bible School from that one visitation on that Walmart night than any other night. And that's a silly illustration to say, God just wants you to get out the boat. And when you get out of the boat, you might fail a little bit. You might stumble a little bit. But God'll lift you up. I want to tell you one more example of the faithfulness of God. I want you to turn to this and we'll be done. I want you to turn over to Romans. You might wonder why we're going to Romans 8. But I want to remind you the greatest act of faithfulness is in Romans chapter number 8 and verse 32. It's the faithfulness of God in sending Jesus for you and me. We talked about Abraham, didn't we? We talked about Daniel. We talked about David and Hannah and Peter. Now we're going to talk about God. That's God, that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Isn't that a great verse? If God, this is what this verse is saying. The context is God for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Is God for us? I'll tell you, if you wonder if he is, just look to Calvary. Because God spared not his own son. God was faithful enough to meet my need of my justification and delivered up for us all his own son. How shall not he with him also freely give us all things? What's that verse mean? If God was faithful enough, church, if God was faithful enough to send Jesus to the cross of Calvary and spare not his own son, don't you think God will take care of everything else for us in this life? Yes, he will. He took care of the biggest and the greatest thing when he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. So, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's already taken care of everything at the cross of Calvary. So everything after Calvary and after salvation is just nothing. See, what God did for us in sparing not his son was a pledge to the rest of our life that God's going to take care of us. It's a pledge. He said, don't you know I gave up my own son for you? And if I gave up my own son for you, I'll be able to take care of anything else for you. I'm faithful to you. I want you to remember tonight that God is faithful in his person. He's faithful in his promises. And he's faithful in his performance. And his faithfulness, the Bible says in Psalm 36 and verse 5, that his faithfulness reaches to the clouds. On and on and on, you can't reach up to the faithfulness of God. And I don't know what you've got to trust God for. I can't look into your pocketbook. I can't look into your mind. I can't look into your doctor's office and what you're going through with the doctors. I don't know what you're going through. But I know one thing, God is faithful. I can't look into your troubled heart, your troubled mind. But I tell you what, you can trust God. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Our God is faithful. Trust him. Make all your requests made known unto him. Make it all made unto him. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep your mind and your heart stayed upon Jehovah in this book right here. And remember his faithfulness. And he'll give you the peace and the grace that you need. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Let's say that together. The Lord is faithful. Again, the Lord is faithful. Let's stand together. Bow in prayer. Talk to the Lord where you're at.